Thank you, Pastor Randy, and we've been friends for a long time, and occasionally we will call each other up and commiserate and talk about stuff and encourage each other. But as I'm sitting there watching him speak and welcoming and doing his thing here, it hit me. Has anybody ever seen Bruce Willis and your pastor in the same place at the same time? I'm just saying. Where's Cade, by the way? Did he slip out? Oh, there you go. Cade, I want to tell you something publicly. I internet stalk you guys and will listen and watch your services kind of on the regular, not every week, but in person, there is such an anointing on you. There's a spirit of David on you, the warrior, the worshiper warrior, and your passion for righteousness and justice and all the things that float your boat, that is God-inspired and God-given. And I'm telling you what, I'm tempted to kidnap you and throw you in the car and take you back to California. I know you would never do that, but
and bring
it back. Well, I just want to tell you that just how refreshing. Powerful. Okay, it's not necessarily your talent. It's a spirit that's in you that comes out. Okay, so I hope you're not weirded out by that. But I'm just, bro, keep it up, man. Keep it up, because. Because in these coming days and months and years, God is going to use young warriors rising up and who's going to carry the flag and lead people into the righteous service of Him. Anybody can say amen to that. I would say amen. So, so I am the last saved person in California, I think. So I know people think that California is fruits and nuts and weirdos and. And for the most part, it is. But there are tons and tons and tons of phenomenal, God-fearing, God-loving, passionate people for Jesus. And we just cluck our tongues and shake our heads just like anybody else does. But God has not released us or me. And, you know, everyone has to serve somewhere. He has blessed me with the privilege of serving in a place where not only is it microclimates where you drive 30 minutes in any direction, you're not only in a different microclimate, but the style and architecture and the vibe of each town and city is completely different. So the town that I live in, the city I live in, is a city of about 110,000 people, and it is oil, agriculture, trucking, blue collar. You know, I drive 30 minutes north to the path where I pastor, or 15 minutes north to where I pastor, and it is beach, vacation, vibe, ooh, hang loose, all that kind of surfer, all that kind of stuff. You continue up the coast, and then you got Morro Bay, which is like a fishing village, and before you get to Morro Bay, you talk about Avila Beach, which is this really cool, tucked away, kind of, you got to be going there to get there. It's where the nude beach is. That's where I met Randy, and... Oh, golly.
San Luis is intellectual, college,
yes.
Upper middle, upper class.
Yeah, no, it's a college town. It really is a very, very unique place to live, because wherever you go, it's a different vibe. Unlike out here in Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, wherever you're driving, it's kind of the same kind of gorgeous. I kept taking pictures and sending them back to, because we don't see the colors like you do here. It is amazing. Out there where there is no, one thing you guys have out here, which is, I was taking pictures of it too. I said, they have water. There's water out here. We have different shades of brown right now out in California. And so pray for our state. We are in big trouble. So, hey, I don't know if anybody heard it was in the papers where we live. Queen Elizabeth died. Did anybody hear about that?
Once or twice.
Yeah, it was in all the papers. It was crazy. And so what happens, I'm kind of like, Randy in some things where he goes after. By the way, I am Pastor Randy's personal trainer. That's so he looks like because of me. I just want you to know. I'm his inspiration. Don't let this happen to you. So this is part of my counseling physique when I counsel young people getting married. I look at them both and I especially the bride to be, and I say, okay, I want you to look at him, and I want you to look at me. This is your future, okay? You're marrying that guy, but in about 20 years, you're going to wake up with this guy. Dad bod's rule. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? So I dive into things that intrigue me, that I find interesting. And so this whole monarchy and how the king and queen and the ascension and abdication of the throne and all these words that, you know, I had never heard before, was prevalent when Queen Elizabeth died. And one of the stories that I heard about her, I would have loved to have met this woman, apparently, after hearing all these stories. She was quite a lady and quite a jokester. And one of the stories is that where her castle, one of her castle was in Balmoral or whatever town where she passed away at, where she frequently would vacation. She was out on a walk with one of her security detail guys. And so she's elderly, and she's walking along with her security detail. And these two guys from America are on vacation, and they're taking a trip walking around the countryside, and they run into Queen Elizabeth. And the two Americans, not knowing who she was, asked her, Do you ever see anyone famous out here? And the queen, let me tell you. She says, well, I understand, I hear that the Queen of England has a place just over the hill. Really? Have you ever met the queen? And she said, oh no, but he has. And they said to him, here, they give their camera to the queen, and they want a picture with the guy who she said has met the queen. And they said to him, what is she like? And he said, well, she's kind of a cantankerous old gal, but she has quite the sense of humor. And so the Queen of England snaps a picture with her security detail and these two Americans who thought they were something standing next to somebody who met the Queen. The security detail guy then turns and says, I tell you what, let me take a picture of you with my friend here. And he took a couple of pictures, handed them back the phone, and the Queen of England said, I cannot wait for them to get back to America as they're flipping through, and maybe someone will know who the Queen of England is and say, you stupid idiots, you were actually talking to the Queen of England. So, I've entitled today's message, My Friend the King. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to start in verse number 12. Very famous passage of scripture if you know the Bible at all. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time. asking that you would bless the reading of your word, bless the teaching and preaching, and you would open up our hearts to hear what you have for us today. And I pray that you would use this moment in time, in history, that we would understand that today is not by accident that we're here, but it is a divine appointment, and that some real work would be done in some folks' hearts and minds today as we give you this time in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm gonna just talk to you kind of the way I do at home, and we have a key verse. Key verse is verse number 14, and it says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." If you do what I command. Now, I probably should have passed out some duct tape as you came in to wrap the duct tape around your head, because what I'm about to tell you is going to make your heads explode, and you have nice paint on the wall. We don't want brain matter scattered all over the walls. You understand, see, theology and understanding God is like a spaghetti, if you will. There's a lot of strands to it, and we look at a pile of spaghetti and we say, oh, that's just spaghetti, but the whole spaghetti plate of spaghetti is made up of individual strands. And sometimes when you're looking at things from a theological standpoint, you have to understand that this truth is truth until it stops by another truth. Each truth stands on its own strand of truth, if you will. Okay, so listen, God's love for you is unconditional. And how many people go, preach it, I love, praise the Lord, brother. Anybody excited about that? God's love for you is unconditional. Meaning, I don't care what you did last night. And some of you might have done some stuff last night. You're just trying to wash your mind and soul from, you know, it might have been Friday night, it might have been 10 years ago, and you're dealing with guilt that is no longer yours to carry. We sang that song, "I'll Never Know How Much It Cost to Put My Sin on That Cross." Your sin is not just covered, right? It is separated from you, it's taken away, right? So our worship is not about singing songs. It's about thanking a God who loves us so much that he would die to take care of our sins before anyone signed up to follow. Your sin debt is paid for, completed, and it happened on the cross. God's love for you is unconditional. It will never change. You can't earn it. You can't unearn it. It is, because God's love, what God does is a derivative of who God is. And the Bible says that God is what? He is love. So because he is love, all he does is love. And when he sees you, he sees me, he sees us through the lens of his love. And that never changes. And if that doesn't fire you up on occasion, you got wet wood, okay? You got to let the truth of that sink into your innermost being. Now, the flip side of that coin is this. Jesus says, "You are my friend if you do what I command." So God's love for us is unconditional, but his relationship to us is totally conditional. Totally conditional. God's love will never run out. God's love is there. It always will be, always has been, always will be, because God is love. That's what he does. He loves us. However, his relationship to us is totally conditional. Jesus said it. Either you believe the Bible is God's word or you don't, okay? And so you got to read it. It says what it says. It means what it says. You are my friends no matter what. Does it say that? No. If is a condition. So the opposite would be true, that if you don't do what I command, you ain't no friend of mine. Now, why was this so important to the people that Jesus was talking to? He was talking to Jewish people, and he says, "You are my friend. I no longer call you servant, but I call you friend. Those people did not have a New Testament. They had the Old Testament. And the two big wigs that they had, the folks that they set up as, woohoo, there on our side, was who? Abraham and Big Mo, right? Moses. So Abraham, the Bible refers to Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. Everybody in our culture, it is part of human nature to want to be known by somebody. Somebody famous. I will never forget the day that we heard that Michael Jackson, remember Michael Jackson? Remember that Michael Jackson, the singer, right? Was buying a ranch in our area. And everybody's like, oh my God, Michael Jackson is going to be our neighbor. No, he's not going to be your neighbor, right? But everybody that claimed to fame, Michael Jackson, I can tell you, I can go right up to Michael Jackson's front gate. You can't get in, but I can take you where it is. Years and years ago, when I was self-employed as a sign painter, I got called out to Michael Jackson's ranch to do some hand lettering and custom pinstriping on some golf carts that Macaulay Culkin, anybody know the actor Macaulay Culkin, was out there, and he was zooming around on golf carts, and he just ran them into something and busted them up, and so they had to be repainted. But each one of them had a custom picture of a Disney character and pinstriping, and so the body shop that did the repair, I was connected with them, and they called me up and said, hey, will you do a golf cart? Sure, it's over at Michael Jackson's ranch. So I drive up to the front gate, ring the bell. Some great big dude, twice the size as me. Yeah. I said, I'm on the list. I'm the sign painter. Oh, here you are. So I had to sign a bunch of stuff. If you see Mr. Jackson, don't initiate conversation. Don't take any pictures, you know, blah, blah. I mean, just initial sign. I had to sign more papers getting into Michael Jackson's ranch than buy my first house, okay? It was like closing escrow. So I get there and I'm looking to see where the house is at, and the shop where I was working was way away from the house, and I kept trying, oh, I can see the top of the house. And the people that were working there who I was dealing with when I was doing my work, they said, stop straining your neck. He ain't here right now. So you're not gonna see him, so don't. Everybody, we're selfie. We want to be next to somebody famous. We don't have a clue necessarily the likes or dislikes of that person, but we know that person's famous, and we want to be associated with that person. So when Jesus says, I no longer call you a servant, but I call you a friend, they go, Abraham's a friend of God. He's the son of God. And we're being called his friend like Abraham. So that audience in that day when Jesus is speaking to him, we read it and we go, oh, hey, that's cool. I'll make a song. I am a friend of God. Okay, right. But then they got the tingly winglies. We're a friend. It means something to be a friend. It's a relationship status. Do you understand that a relationship status, you and I, regardless of who it is on the face of the earth, every one of us has a relationship status with someone else. And I've got the list of relationship statuses. If I can have the next slide up there. Here we go. Relationship levels or statuses. And I've got these in ascending order. From the very first level, stranger. You say, well, that's not a relationship. Yeah, it is. It's a defined level, like, I have met a few of you, but I'm total strangers with the rest of you. Okay? I mean, you love Jesus, I assume. You're here. I don't know you at all. But until I get introduced to you, the relationship status or level goes from being a complete stranger to being introduced. Now, before you go down this path, you have to determine, is this relationship going to be business or personal? Because business has a whole different set of rules and regulations about it. It's interesting as a pastor, you have the God card as a pastor. Like sometimes I'll pull it out when I get pulled over for excessive speed on the highway or something. You know, a lot of guys want to slip the cop a Hyundai, you know, but I just, I was, officer, I'm on my way to the hospital. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister of the gospel. You know, with some it works, with some it doesn't. I go to a business and I'll say, hey, listen, we need an air conditioning work done at our church. And because the pastor card is whipped out there and the God card, people, the guilt, right, is like, oh, gosh, okay, well, let me see what kind of deal. I go, you know what? I don't want a deal. I just want it done. Amen. Okay? Stop trying to give me a deal. I just work it up. You know what? Forget the God card. Forget I said I'm a pastor. Pretend I'm a Satan worshiper, okay? I mean, you come in, what kind of deal, what kind of price would you work up for an average person just walking in the street and wants 5 widgets and 3 whodunits? They work up the price, carry the one. Here's the price. How about for God, okay? So business and personal, that's why it's hard to mix those two. It's very, very hard to mix those two because they can get real nasty mixing business and personal relationship. But so we're just assuming this is personal. So a stranger, you get introduced, and then you're an acquaintance, right? It's like if I get introduced to you today and I was going to stay here for 2 or 3 weeks and I would maybe see you another couple of times, but I wouldn't go back to California and go, oh my gosh, my best buddy's in Ohio, right? If you then came to California on a Sunday and walked into my church and you said, hey, remember me? You spoke at our church one time. Oh, yeah. That's the level of relationship, right? I'm not invited in my house. I mean, you might be phenomenal people, but we're not that level yet. We just got past stranger. We got introduced. We're acquaintances. We occasionally see each other. Then the next level is it's kind of more casual. I know you. I'm kind of liking you. I might sit next to you at the next chili cook-off, right? Anybody doing a pumpkin chili this year by chance? Because we got invited to a... Yeah. Whoa. Apparently I lost you right there. Right? I'm on back, everybody. Some of you are going, I knew he was from the devil. Okay, listen. We every year we go to this bonfire at one of our church members' house, and she makes this pumpkin chili. I don't know what's in it, but it's really good, right? It does lend you to some gastrointestinal issues later, but it's phenomenal going down. Anyway, casual. Then we bump from casual. Now we're friends, right? We're friends. Guys, isn't that where? I just want to be friends. Right? Yeah, well. Well, you guys are right here on this list. So you're friends, and that's a Jesus. Now we're at the word. Now we're at the word that Jesus called us, called you friends. But notice that there's 3 more levels to go. Guys, remember when you were introduced to your sweetheart, and you were just friends at the time, and maybe it depends. You know, I always love to hear people's relationship story because I want to know, was it love at first sight? Or did you have to grow with each other? And you know, you get the ones, oh my God, my heart went pitter patter, and it was love at first sight. And I met her on a Monday, and by Friday we were engaged, and Saturday afternoon we got married, and it's been 57,000 years later, and oh my gosh, it's never, you know. Oh, all right. Most of the time it was like, eh. But guys, you remember the turning point? If you were just friends with some gal and you went from, hi, how you doing, to, how you doing? where your heart turned, it turned romantic. You guys, 33 years, right? I just heard 33. My wife and I just, we celebrated. We're coming up on 34. April is 34. My wife's birthday is April 4th. We got married on April 7th. And taxes are due on the 15th. And I'm broke in May. Everything that cost me a bunch of money is happening in April. And I often remind my wife, I say, sweetheart, listen. Out of all the women in the world, I chose you. She goes, you chose me. I'm the only one that have you. You know, so it kind of knocks me down a peg and makes me humble. But so it goes from friends to romantic. Then the romance, if it continues down the path, becomes intimate. There comes a time when the attraction goes from, hi, how you doing? And nice to meet you. I'm your friend. Now I'm starting to like you. And now I'm starting to like you enough to where I really want to get to know you, biblically speaking, right? And it crosses that line, the two become physically one. And before you can be intimate before you become physically intimate. This is where a lot of folks have entanglements with other people, emotional affairs, emotional entanglements. They stop pursuing it with their spouse and they get the tingly winglies from the guy or gal at work. And you're treading on thin ice when you do that. But then comes the time when it becomes a committed oneness. Where you don't always have the feelings, right? But it's like, I married you till death do us part. I am now committed to you. It goes from, I love you, to, I made a commitment. I put a ring on. This is where marriages are made, and because this comes and goes. There are, I know what you're thinking, man. You are a phenomenal guy, Kevin, but there are times when we wake up in the morning, and my wife says, "You're still here," you know. It's like, I don't right now. I don't have a whole lot of romantic feelings for you, but I made a commitment, and this ring reminds me of it. Every time I look at it, it never comes off. That no matter what I'm feeling, I made a commitment. And my commitment transcends my feelings. Now here's the point. I know some of you are thinking, what's the point? Okay. That Jesus calls us friends. But do you understand that he calls us, what is the church referred to in the scripture? The bride! The bride. Guys, you don't walk through the house high-fiving your wife, okay? Or you high-five your friend. You give your wife love taps, right? You touch your wife in a way that you don't touch your friends. It's just the way it is. Do you understand that God looks at us and he's my bride? I no longer call you friend. That's where you're starting at. We've gone through all of the stranger, introduces, acquaintance, casual. We're at friends, but there's three more levels to go. And this is what I'm finding in the church with church people today is that people are just happy at a certain level with God. And he is doing his best to woo us and bring us into a romantic, intimate, committed oneness relationship with him. To where sometimes I don't feel, anybody ever this, I know God's there, but I don't sense him. Anybody ever have those when you're walking journey with God? Where you think, where is God in the midst of this? I'm confused. I don't know. That's where faith comes in. Faith starts where your understanding stops. And the dangerous part is that people will have a relationship with God based on feelings only. And the minute that the feelings go, I knew this God thing wasn't a big deal. You understand that marriage is the most perfect object lesson of our relationship with God. Because the romantic feelings ebb and flow. But I stay with my wife because I made a commitment to her. You stay walking with God because He made a commitment to you and you made a commitment to Him. And the more you stay in that committed oneness, it transcends your feelings. It transcends the ebbs and flows of the winds of adversity that come. And the roots grow deeper because you are committed in a relationship with God. Now listen, every day, the name of our church is Life Point, and every Sunday we have a Life Point, which is that if you forget anything, that if you forget everything that I said to you today and you remember this one thing, this is what I want you to remember. That if a relationship level is not maintained, it will always degrade to a lower level. Think about it. You used to be best friends with somebody. They move away. Then you see them 2 or 3 years later. Hey, buddy, so good to see you. So the wife, and yeah, married? Yeah, I got married. Yeah, kids? Yeah, let me show you pictures. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, good to see you. Bye. If you don't maintain whatever level of relationship that you are at with a person, it will automatically degrade to a lesser level. That is a truism about our relationships with people, and it is even more true about our relationship with God. That if you are just happy to be a friend and you don't maintain friend level, you will shrink back from even that. There are people who used to walk with God, and I see them now, and they don't even know who God is. They're not even at the acquaintance level. They haven't talked to God. They haven't let God talk to them in years because they didn't maintain the level of committed oneness. I have a little video. It's a clip from a television show called Seinfeld. And I did it because I'm a Seinfeld fan. And I know your pastor's a Seinfeld fan. And I watched last week's message, and he used the word. And he used the word again today. Manure. And I thought, you know what? I felt God tugging me in this direction, and here's a clip that will illustrate. Show the clip.
So you just pretended it didn't bother you?
What is that, boyfriend? I don't understand that. What does she think I asked her out for?
Well, it's the way they just slip it in there, too.
Yeah. Like it's all just part of the conversation. Oh, my boyfriend really likes watches. He's a real watch freak. Well, that's fabulous.
Well, let me ask you this. What exactly did you say when you asked her out?
I said, would you like to go for a walk or something?
Oh, a walk, well.
Or something. I said, or something.
Or something. Yeah, that's a date.
There you go.
Of course, you know, there is always the possibility that she called an audible.
What do you mean?
Well, she got up to the line of scrimmage, didn't like the looks of the defense, and changed the play.
I think things were going okay. We were having a nice conversation.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned how I liked horse manure.
You did?
Yeah.
You said you liked horse manure.
Yeah. You know, about how when you break it down, it's really a very positive thing. You know, you have a newer with a ma in front of it. Manure. It's not bad.
And it was around this point that she mentioned the boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, you think because of what I said about the manure? I was just saying how it takes a negative thing and puts a positive spin on it.
I'm just saying there's a chance she may not have been enamored with your thoughts and feelings on manure.
So you don't think she really has a boyfriend?
My honest opinion, I think she made it up.
Well, then she's just a liar, isn't she?
Here we go in our walk with God. And he says, hey, want to go for a walk or something? And we think we're just going for a walk. We accept God's invitation at a certain level. But it's that or something. Because God's never satisfied with just a walk. God wants us to get to a commitment. He's trying to woo us. And here's what happens so often in that walk with God. God says something that is off-putting to us. Something like, you know, you might want to stop that. You know, I'd like to see a deeper commitment out of you. I gave all at the cross. And we hear something from God. We hear maybe he says, like he said to Abraham, hey, I want you to leave what you know and I'll go to a land that I'm going to show you. I want you to take a big, great, big step of faith. And it freaks us out. And we go, I've got this other boyfriend over here. You know, I've got this other relationship that is taking precedent over you. The question I have for you this morning is this. Well, it's two questions. One, where are you at with God? Are you at committed oneness? Or are you just happy, hey, God, nice to know you. Let's just be friends. Because everyone, even ladies, it's happened. Someone is more interested in you than you are in them, and you put a stop to the level, the relationship growth. I just want to keep it at this level. If you are at the level today where you're just happy to be a friend of God, you are missing out on so much more that he has for you. And whatever it is that you're afraid of, whatever it is that you are holding on to that's more important to you than your relationship with him, it's not going to satisfy you like it will with him. If you trust him, if you give up everything and go into a committed oneness with God. That's the first question. Where are you at with God? Number two, where are you at with your relationships with other people? Maybe somebody has said something that offended you in 1972 and you Hatfield and McCoy never come up, not coming around. You know. Do you understand that God gave each other because it's a gift? Relationships are a gift. And Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And I see young people back here, and I listen, parents can say things that you hear something different. A friend at school, somebody online says something. I am so intrigued with how we analyze someone's comment on a post or a text to us when they leave out a comma or a period, and what do they mean by that? And we're so shook up and freaked out, and oh, I can't believe, and I'm gonna unfriend them. And God is texting us every day. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to heal you. I want to help you. I want to be in a committed oneness relationship with you. and we just go, nah, I'm happy being this level. If you have a human relationship that is torn apart, listen to me. Make it right. The most powerful words in the human language is, regardless of what language it is, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Wherever there is a tearing apart, God right now, listen, God wants to mend that together. Because let me tell you something, where there's been a rift in a relationship, there's a hole. And you're trying to fill it with somebody else or something else where God intended that one person where it is no longer in your life because of an offense. Now, understand that there's only certain level that a relationship can get mended to. Sometimes they can get all the way mended and everything is good. But wherever there is a riff, there's a stoppage of the flow of God's blessing in your life because of resentment and anger. And you need to deal with that. And I believe God sent me California, Arizona, New Mexico, how many states it is to drive. Your pastor and I had this joke that if you fly in from outside of a 100-mile radius, you're an expert. And I was texting him. I said, you know, hey, does that mean I, from California, am going to be an expert to your church there in Ohio? He said, no, because you're driving, you're only a specialist. And so I believe God sent me here today to drop this seed that somebody, there's twofold, there's people in your life that you need to get right with, and there's been a rift with God that you need to get that taken care of and get closer to God. Close your eyes in just a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, begin to just permeate the room as you already have been and go through every mind and every heart. I believe that there are relationships, there's people being flashed in front of your minds right now. And the moment of when the rift happened, I know it's going to be hard, so take somebody with you. Seek advice, seek counseling. But that pain, that hurt, that anger, that unforgiveness, it's hurting you. It's stopping you from experiencing all God has for you today. And some of you, you know that God's calling you. You know that God is wooing you. But you feel a separation because you said, no, I only want to go so far. But you're not happy, you're discontented. There's a churning in your spirit until you get that right with God. It's always going to be there. So Father, I pray right now for everyone in the room that as you speak to them, you would begin to heal the brokenhearted. You begin to heal the wounds. You begin to put a salve on those things as those resentments are forgiven. Those things that were said. Those relationships that were torn apart, Lord. As we deal with the hurt, but also with our walk with you, Lord, help us to get past friends, to fall in love with you romantically, to become so intimate with you that we make a decision that goes beyond our feelings of committed oneness. And we will see the righteousness of God displayed in our life. We'll see the gifts of God. We'll see the miracles of God. We'll begin to see and experience God at a level we haven't seen in a long time. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Pastor Randy.